Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask your grace today to understand. So many need to understand the foundation of repentance and how it must be with us constantly to bring the coming of the Lord in our lives. Thank you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. All right, we're going to continue with Crucified Life Brings Purity, number 5. In this first revelation, we called Repentance, the Road to Christlikeness. And by the way, that title fits pretty good the whole rest of the revelations too. And this is given to Claire Pinar, on 3/28/21. Claire said, I dreamed I was awakened at 5:30 a.m. by the squealing of children of my Mormon neighbor. Her 4 children were running amok on our street, completely covered in mud. They were playing in mud, rolling in mud, eating mud, and sucking mud. I believe the mud represents the filth of the world. And these children represent the offspring of the mother harlot church. They are the false leadership that spreads their false teachings and doctrines of demons that cause many who believe that they are God's people to live lascivious lives and have lack of discipline. 2 Peter 2:10-22 says, But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lusts of defilement and despise dominion, daring, self-willed, they tremble not to rail at dignities. Verse 12, But these, as creatures without reason, born mere animals, to be taken and destroyed, railing in matters whereof they are ignorant, shall in their destroying be destroyed. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. Well, this is more common than we think, sadly, sad to say. Claire went on to say, they were so loud and noisy, I did not want them disturbing the peace of my household. I marched outside, and when I saw how much they were enjoying making these noises and glancing over to our windows to see if they were getting a rise out of us, I said very firmly, with a pointed finger, Stop this noise right now. Get away from my house and never come back here again. You're not going to disturb us again. Well, I believe the words, get away from my house, is what the Lord causes to happen in order to separate the leaven from his people. He turns them over to faction like he did Judas and the Pharisees. The enemy is always trying to get a rise out of us or distract us and get us out of the rest with their constant distractions and noise. And, of course, the rest means resting in the promises and believing you have received. Okay. Their mother came outside and leaned on their fence and said, half smiling, But you're awake anyway, so what does it matter? And this, I believe, represents the mother of the harlots. I said to her, You might have awoken me up, but you're not going to mess with my household. Leaning on the fence represents the lukewarm who are fence sitters and don't want to come all the way into the kingdom. They have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, but God has promised to spew them out of the mouth of his body. Then she said, "They're only kids." And I replied, "No, they are not. They are demons." My kids and Rian will not be awoken or disturbed like this. Her children were completely naked, meaning not dressed up with Christ, right? And the children, by the way, don't represent physical children, but spiritual children, right? And covered in mud and dirty, mud-stained underwear. Rian put a note here. Rian, Claire's husband, put a note here. The bride is at rest, but at the same time needs to continue to do spiritual warfare. And we know spiritual warfare is the only way to overcome our flesh nature as well as our enemies. All right? Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "Our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." As I walked back into my house, the Lord handed me an onion. And I said to him, "What would you like me to do with an onion?" Well, you're going to notice that this onion theme runs all throughout the revelations that we're going to share today, amazingly. The onion being peeled layer by layer is like these revelations, one after another, that are well, what are the odds of that, you know, that coming to pass? It's just amazing. Well, he said nothing. And then I said, "Do you want my tears?" In other words, from the onions. "Do you want me to repent?" And he said, "It's not your tears I want. It's not your repentance I need." He was talking specifically to this bridal household here, not to the lukewarm, obviously. Rian made a comment here. He said, "The first layer of revival is repentance. Real tears are real repentance." That's true. And the bride is already living a crucified and repentant lifestyle. The man, child, and bride corporate body of the first fruits will lead many to repentance, just as a type of the John the Baptist ministry. And that will result in a great end-time revival movement. Repentance paves the way for the coming of the Lord in our lives. And it's not just a one-time thing like the church teaches. He's constantly coming in our lives as we repent. Change our mind is what it means, right? And, of course, this comes in to remove all the stumbling blocks, which can be people and our sins, too. So Isaiah 57 and 14 says, "And he will say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people." That's what repentance does. Malachi 3 and 1, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me," that is, before the coming of the Lord. The messenger is the John the Baptist spirit of repentance that's going forth through the earth today to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord in the hearts of his people. And it goes on to say, "And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." And his temple, of course, is people, not a building. "And the messenger of the covenant whom you desire, behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts." Oh, how awesome. Let us all repent of everything contrary to the word. Okay. Isaiah 40:3 and 4 says, "The voice of one that crieth, Prepare ye in the wilderness the way of the Lord. Make level in the desert a highway for our God. That's what repentance does. It paves the way for the Lord to come into your life. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. In other words, the humble shall be exalted, and the proud will be brought down. And the uneven shall be made level, and the rough places a plain. And that is to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Isaiah 62:10 says, Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up an ensign for the peoples. And this is the highway of holiness that leads to Zion. And the Lord has said before prophetically, I am Zion. So I asked the Lord, she said, for a verse by faith at random and received Ezra 3:6. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. Of course, we are priests of the Lord, and we are to offer burnt offerings of our old flesh in the fiery trials, right? But the foundation of the Lord's temple was not yet laid. Okay, so we need to lay the foundation of our individual temples by repentance from those things that are contrary to God's word. Remember that Cyrus, who we've been told is Trump, has set the people free from their Babylonish religious bondages to go and lay the foundation of the temple of their lives, as history tells us. And that's what's happening now. Okay, she went on to say, I shared this dream on the Zoom fellowship the following Saturday night, and Dave Nelson said he had received these verses by faith at random on that Saturday morning, which confirms this dream. Leviticus 23:23-25. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, there it is again, shall be a solemn rest to you, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. No regular work, no works of man were permitted, right? Amen. It was a Sabbath. Okay, and Missy also received the following words by faith at random in her morning prayer time, which seemed to also confirm this dream. Jeremiah 7:32. Therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that it shall no more be called Topheth, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Topheth until there be no place to bury. Let me say that a vast number of people who do not come to repentance will end up being the enemies of God's people. And this is history. It's happened over and over and over. All the prophets were prophesied against these people who were tormenting them too. So this vast number of people who don't repent will be the enemies of God's people and will meet with the destruction of the Lord. Okay. Malachi 2:2. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, that's repentance, to give glory unto my name, says the Lord of hosts, then will I send the curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Well, some people think repentance is joining a church, but there are many rebellious churches out there, just as it was in Jesus' day, and the things that have been are the things that shall be, right? You see, This is what I told you. Right there. Okay. Julie mentioned the onion is the root. And Rion said this is the first layer. Revival starts with repentance. Yes, that's true. Repentance destroys the root cause of all the curse in our lives. So don't waste any time repenting of everything contrary to the word. Amen. Be busy at doing that. This is where revival comes from. Okay, this next one we called conquering our enemies with tears of repentance. Kind of fits the onion thing, right? And this is anonymous. 10, 13, and 20 it was given. I dreamed I was out of a side window. I was looking out of a side window of our house. There were two men with me, David Eales and someone else. The other man was talking to me, and I mistakenly thought that he was interested in talking with me, but then he left. Well, let me say, looking out the side window could represent getting sidetracked with distractions, like the first revelation, you know, or feelings that get our eyes off the promises given to us in the Word of God. And these things are feelings, they could be things or feelings, can make us discontented in life. We shouldn't be listening to the things that discourage or depress or make us discontented, right? We need to repent of these things. I was forlorn and went away to the back bedroom of my house, a place in the past where I used to rest. It was very solitary, dimly lit room, and I thought I would rest. I started to lay down on a built-in banquet bench with no cushion. I only had a thin cream-colored or light tan blanket to cover up with. Only a thin blanket to cover up with. Well, let me say what came to me was that you're not comforted when you're not covered by the comforter. You know, Isaiah 28 and 20 says, "For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower," there it is, "than that he can wrap himself in it." No comfort. Well, we know who the comforter is. The comforter is the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Many people have grieved the Holy Spirit by not repenting, and they don't get his cooperation and grace in their life. And going on, they said, "I've been delivered from depression and spirits of grief and bitterness, but when I was sad, I would to go to my room and cry alone. It was a dark, hard place, and I felt very far from the Lord." Mm-hmm. "I heard voices in the adjoining room, so I went in and saw a couple. And I said something like, 'I guess you are planning to sleep here.' And they agreed, so I left and went to the kitchen." Well, let me say, we can't be in agreement with these spirits or they will camp out in our lives. You have to fall out of agreement with them. Repentance is just that, right? Repentance is coming into agreement with the Word of God so that He may live in your life. And this person who got the dream said, this couple represents a series of YouTube videos that I used to watch to drown out my pain, but they also interrupted my rest by keeping me feeling discontented with my own life." Okay, need that encouragement of the Word, right? It's not going to come through a lot of worldly help, so to speak. So this couple represents spirits of discontentment that keep us comparing our lives to the lives of others. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. But having food and covering, we shall be therewith content." Amen. In the kitchen, I began chopping an onion. There it is again. representing getting down to the root of the problems and exposing the spirits that cause us to cry or to dwell on negative feelings that keep us in bondage and sabotage our ability to overcome. And a brother came in with a stranger. The stranger moved close to me, and I saw his eyes on my artwork that was hanging on the wall. He seemed to see something special in it, and I thought that he was going to give me some great insight into myself. Well, they wrote, this stranger represents a demon spirit of pride. I never spoke to him, but he kept on talking, and he never said anything insightful. Well, pride never has a useful place in our lives. He only precedes our fall and our destruction. Proverbs 16:17-19 says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. That's repentance, right? He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Amen. Then my husband came into the kitchen and assessed the situation. Well, our heavenly husband, Jesus, died to deliver us from our old nature. He will defend us against our enemies and intercede on our behalf with our heavenly Father. Yes, amen. The strange man kept talking and moved closer and held me on the side while he kissed my forehead many times with quick little pecks. Well, the quick little pecks represent the intrusive thoughts of the enemy that hound our thinking. Our old flesh nature has the mark of the beast in our forehead and or our thought life. And he is always betraying our spiritual man, which is Christ in us, with this kiss, like Judas. The son of perdition is represented, of course, by Judas. And the devil would love to drag every one of us into that pit, so to speak. But we must resist him by getting to the root of the problem and repenting and turning away from pride or any other sin that so easily besets us. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore let us also, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. I then took my chopping block, onions, and knife, and I moved around the kitchen island, and I threw the chopped onions away. I believe this represents getting rid of the roots of sin in our lives and the demonic spirits that are attached to them that cause us to stumble so that we can move higher on the road to sanctification and maturity in Christ. Without repentance, there's no progress in this. Anytime we see the Word of God and we don't line up with it, we can repent. We have that authority from God. He has granted us repentance. Meanwhile, my husband came up to the strange man and gently but firmly told him that he didn't like him talking to his wife in that manner. Well, Jesus is jealous over his bride and will defend those that are against all the wiles of the devil and his demons that want to disrupt our walk on our highway of holiness. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11, 2-4 says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ." And, of course, a virgin is one who has not received the seed of man, right? And we don't need that. We don't need these other inputs, these demons, these people that are contrary to God. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. Verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you do well to bear with him." Well, we know that it's very easy to receive another Jesus, or receive a different spirit, or a different gospel, if we're not in the Word of God. We're to seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And when we're in the Word of God, believe me, you'll pass right through all the churches of Babylon, and you'll come out on the other side. You'll keep on moving and keep on going towards the Lord. These are just little halfway houses, and you have to get rid of a lot of the garbage that you pick up there. I was embarrassed and repentant in the dream that I had listened to the strange man just because I wanted to be or feel special. Well, repentance will always lead us to overcome the trials and temptations of the enemy, even our flesh, right? And then I woke up. Well, they say that pride was the original sin that caused Lucifer and all of his rebellious angels to fall from grace and to become Satan and his demons. In Isaiah 14, 11-16, it is said, "Thy pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, that didst lay low the nations? And thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." You know, the stars of God are Abraham's seed, right? There are many of Satan's little helpers running around here wanting to exalt their throne above the stars of God. "And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation." Yes, that's their desire too. They're just like their father. "In the uttermost parts of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit. And they that see thee shall gaze at thee. They shall consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms?" Okay, this next one is, we called it Conquering the Old Man Through Repentance. And this was given to Elena Timoshuk on 5/4/21. "I had a dream that I was with a group of people, and there was a man in that group that I seemed to like, and he seemed to like me." Well, as we will see, this man represents our old man, our flesh nature that we have an affinity for. He likes you as long as he can use you, and you like him when he pleases your flesh. Renewing your mind with the word will cause you both to fall out of agreement with one another. This isn't always pleasant. It's a war inside that every Christian has to fight. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, right? Ephesians 5 and 8 through 15 says this: For you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. For the things which are done by them in secret, it is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest by the light. Yes, you drag that old sin out in the light, and you will quickly repent of it. The light will destroy the darkness. For everything that is made manifest is light. Yeah, if you can't do it in front of others, then it's not right, right? Wherefore, he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee. Look therefore carefully how ye walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Later I was with my brother Theo, and the name Theo is from the Latin root theos, meaning flower, blossom, figuratively innocence, virginity. I started telling him about this man and how highly I thought of him, and I told him that he liked me and how I thought I liked him too, because of how highly I thought of him. But I didn't feel anything for him in my heart. My brother told me that's because he's manipulating you and controlling your mind. You need to overcome him. Amen. Theo represents the voice of wisdom and sanctification and purity, the Holy Spirit. And as we read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in wisdom so that we're able to overcome our old man, our flesh nature. Amen. The next thing I remember, it was nighttime, and I was laying on a couch. And this represents resting from our works to overcome the old man or flesh nature. It is Christ's power and wisdom that helps us to overcome him. I was waiting for the man to come to me because I knew that it was night, and when I was sleeping that he would come into my mind to manipulate me. Yes, that happens quite a bit at night. It does. The spirits that manipulate our flesh always come to us in the cover of darkness, right? They manipulate our thoughts, which in turn cause us to act against the word. And I saw him approach, and instead of the human man I thought I knew, he looked terrifying, like something between a ghost and a zombie. This man who manipulates us is a ghostly way, in a ghostly way, is of the Antichrist. That spirit that is of our old man who is dead in Christ, and hence the ghost part of this, right? He was hovering over the ground and glided towards me, and I don't remember what I said, but I know I rebuked him. I just remember saying the word spirit. And after I said it, he left me, and I felt my mind was freed. And then I woke up. Well, the demons work closely with our flesh nature to derail us and to cause us to stumble. Our flesh is our worst enemy. Resist the devil and he will flee, the Bible says. James 4, 7 through 10. Be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. This is all very useful in repenting, is to cry out to God and humble yourselves, as the next verse says. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt you. Yeah, humble self. Self is the old man. Self is the enemy. Amen. The great thing is that the gospel in Romans 6, where by faith you reckon him dead so Christ can do the work in you, and in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, we see that Christ in the mirror through faith, so we can come into his image. So this is an act of faith. It's an act of imagination mixed with our faith. We see Jesus in the mirror. He lives in us. That's the good news of the gospel. And God is empowered to give us grace as we accept it by faith. So we have nothing to fear as we walk in repentance and faith. Pray for a love for the word, and you will grow quickly, and the old man won't be a problem. A steady diet of the word is death to him. It's like your baptism, the water of the word, putting to death the old man so that you have the resurrection life of Christ coming out of the water, right? Okay, here's another revelation. God will bring repentance through judgment. Yes, and if we don't want judgment, we can humble ourselves quicker. And this is given to Claire Pinar, 12:15-20. I dream my oldest daughter, Micah, which means who is like God, was standing next to a river, and she held the globe in her hands. She was peeling it back in sections. There were 8 sections that would peel off the one outer layer of the globe, and then 8 more layers that she would need to peel back to get to the heart of the globe. Well, 8 is the fullness of an onion here. It's the fullness, the whole thing, right? And just as 888 is the gematria for the fullness of Jesus. Aha! How awesome. Is that an accident? Nope. This represents the onion of repentance mentioned in the first 2 revelations of this teaching. And God is going to bring all of his elect in the whole world to repentance and revival through the judgments that he will allow to befall humanity. And it will be a painful time leading up to the tribulation and beyond, but it will be necessary. And this will cause a great awakening among the elect of God and lead to much repentance and a great revival. Oh, thank you, Lord. We pray for it and do pray for it. Amen. I heard a voice, which I believe to be God's voice, say, Rome has fallen. But in my mind, I saw the words, Roman fallen. The Roman beast has lost authority in our lives when we fall out of agreement with it by repentance. It looked like she was on the first layer, and the next layer had a slightly different looking globe. A lighter colored water and a lighter colored land masses. And I assume each layer would look like a different printing of the globe. Well, you know, Q has this saying, dark to light, and it's been picked up by the the rest out there, dark to light, as God peels back the layers of darkness that have covered the earth. You know, obviously there's a D-class going on right now. The revelations of how wicked and evil the rulers of this earth were are coming out. And for centuries, we will have a great revival among God's elect. While at the same time, there will be a false religion that arises with a false light that will deceive many upon the earth. They talk about a utopia of 1,000 years of peace. Yes, that's where this is coming from, this great revival for centuries in the future. They talk about a utopia of 1,000 years of peace and coexistence with the good aliens. There's no such thing. Who will help us ascend to a higher plane of existence and consciousness. Yes, the devil promises freedom and he brings bondage. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Matthew 26:59-61. My finger was on Jesus and found and afterwards. So her finger covered these three words in that text. Now the chief priests and the whole council sought witness against Jesus that they might put him to death, and they found it not, though many false witnesses came. But afterward came two and said, "This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." Well, the religious leadership was Antichrist, even though they were very religious, much like today. So we must be careful to agree with the Word, who is Christ, and this is repentance. Many of these leaders haven't known repentance and, climbed the ladder of religion just like they did in the ways of the world. This next revelation, we called it, rotten fruit is everywhere. Seek the Lord first. And that was given to Claire Pinar too, 12:16-20. I dreamed I was in a fraternity party, but bigger. It was nighttime, and people were all over the scene, staggering from drunkenness, lewdness, and general debauchery and reveling. Representing the wicked world. I was among all that rotten fruit. Amongst all this, there were older women selling fruit that looked so wholesome and healthy, even though the fruit had been germinated from troughs of compost and filth. And Jesus said, "Unless a seed fall to the ground and die, it won't bear much fruit." John 12:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit." The older women represent the original church doctrine that will restore the fruit of the elect of these end times. I saw rotten fruit that matured in the soil right before my eyes at a supernatural speed, growing into watermelons and zucchinis. I was amazed that even some of that rotten fruit brought forth good fruit. That is what I was interested in picking and taking home to grow further. You know, the Lord said, "Let them both grow together until the harvest," right? In other words, the wicked around us are crucifiers. They put to death our old flesh, and if we obey the Word of God, of course. Watermelons and zucchinis have a high water content, representing the high water of the Word, a content that is cultivated through the compost or filth of our own lives. The weaker we are, the more we need the washing of the water to bring forth the good fruit. The judgments that God is bringing upon the world will cause many of His elect to grow up quickly and to bear much fruit. One girl came up to me and asked me to take her friend to the hospital because she had something drastically wrong with her uterus. This bad report had been explained to her by a nurse. In the dream, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge, and it was botched abortion. In other words, man's works are making the Christian infertile. The blood of the old nature washes away the seed of the Word and prevents us from bearing the fruit of Christ. Christ grows in the womb of our heart, as in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. Read it carefully, because it shows you this exact same thing. If the baby, which is Christ in you, is not nourished by the Word, he will die and our fruit will be aborted. This happens to many. There's always a great falling away. There were four different kinds of people in Matthew 13 mentioned. Only one of those bore fruit, continued to bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. The rest fell away. Is that common? Yes, it is. Sad to say. So, they went on to say, she went on to say, this person was pressuring me the whole time to help the young girl, and I eventually said to her, I need to go up to my apartment and ask the Lord Jesus Christ what I should do. My life is not my own. I know that if I laid hands on her, she'd be healed, but I wasn't sure if I was supposed to do it yet. Well, let me say that's may bring a question to some people's mind, but we have to always make sure that we are being led of the Spirit when we pray for others or lay hands on them for healing. Because if we don't, we could bring disrepute upon the name of Jesus, and it would be a bad witness to others. We have to learn to deal with the cause before dealing with the effect. Some people only deal with the effect, and they can never get rid of the problem. For instance, if a person has unforgiveness, the Father has turned them over to the tormentors, and these are there to bring the person to repentance. As in Matthew 18, 34 and 35, Jesus spoke and told us this. He warned us of this. So you have to deal with the cause in order to get rid of the effect. The cause is unforgiveness quite often. And Claire said, I lived in apartment 91. I think the first fruits have learned to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, under their Psalm 91 promises of protection, right? There was a man in a white robe with brown hair and slight beard who said, I am here. As I was going up and down the stairs to my apartment to the fruit growers. And I believe, she said, I believe this was Jesus. He walks with us all the time as he is the spirit man in us that is growing up. Amen. He wants to lead us and guide us. I said no to all the things that were trying to tempt me. Strangely, though, the most tempting thing was a stand filled with natural herbs and vitamins. I stood there for ages reading the labels and really wanting what they had to offer. But I turned from it. Well, let me say, many things that the world has to offer to us as an alternative to trusting in the Lord and the promises of His Word seem desirable and easy to do. No test and no trial, right? And they seem good for us, but in reality, they're just another form of trusting in the arm of the flesh. And we know this because the Scripture declares, by whose stripes you were healed. If you believe you were healed at the cross, This excludes all of your works to try to get healed. In other words, it's really just salvation by works. Just another sneaky form of salvation by works. So I received Simon by faith at random in Mark 14:37-38. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So it's not just reasoning, it's not just the trial, it's not just these things. We pray because we depend upon God and not upon ourselves. It's not just ingenuity, it's not just wisdom. We pray to God because we believe He gives us power, and we believe that He is the cause of our sanctification. Amen? And then I got this right afterwards, also by faith at random. Hosea 7:8. Ephraim, he mixeth himself with the peoples. Well, what does that mean? I mean, God forbid His people to cross marry with peoples of the world. He forbid it. And why? Because He didn't want any half-breeds. Half-breed Christians are multitudinous out there. It's kind of like being lukewarm. It's part this and part that, right? Well, this is not going to make it, because we know God spewed them out, right? And it goes on to say, Ephraim is a cake not turned. Cakes unturned are also half-breeds. They're sanctified on one side through the fire, but unsanctified on the other side. Half-baked Christians. So, there's a lot of this out there. How do we know the real Jesus? How do we know the one we're looking at in the mirror is the real Jesus? Because if you aspire to anybody else, guess what? You're going to come into that image. And there are many antichrists out there. In churches too, many antichrists. How do we get familiar with the true face of Christ? Well, that's where trusting in man can be a very bad stumbling block. Many people get in idolatry with preachers. But we know there's only one image of the true Christ. He is called the Word of God. How do you come to know the real face of Jesus in the mirror? The one you aspire to, the one you have accepted is now in you? You have to become familiar with the Word. Read the Word. Even if you don't go to church, read the Word. As a matter of fact, going to church in many cases is counterproductive. You'll get so much more reading the Word. And if you do go to so-called church, which is the called out ones, make sure they're the called out ones. Make sure they're not just satisfied to fulfill whatever their religion tells them is right and good. Make sure that it's not that. It's a trap. It's a trap. There are many people turned aside, distracted by the harlot woman and her unruly children, right? Don't get distracted by them. Don't aspire to the old man who seems to try to befriend you. Don't aspire to his ways. He's your enemy. As we saw from the Revelations, he was actually the enemy. And he came as Antichrist against us. You know, the old man gets into religion and starts giving doctrines that permit you to live. But Jesus said, if you don't lose your life, meaning your old life, you won't gain your life, which is your higher eternal life. You won't gain it. Some people are content to live in the old life, but there is no fruit there. There will be no manifestation of Christ there, because there's no repentance. Repentance can only come one way. Repentance is a change of mind. A change of mind into believing what the Scripture says about you and your circumstances. You need repentance, or there will be no removal of the stumbling blocks out of the way. There will be no manifestation of Christ in you. Repentance is something we all must do and continue to do until there is no old man left. And the only one left is Jesus in you. This is what God has called us to do. Thank God that He will give us wisdom to do this. You know, He sends these parables to us so that we can think more deeply and meditate more deeply on just what it is that God asks of us. Does He ask of us that we be faithful to go to church? No, He asks of us, repent and believe. This was the command, repent and believe. Of course, fellowshipping with other people who repent and believe is good. It's always good. But also a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Repent. Don't sit and let people feed you stuff that's contrary to the Word of God. How would you know if it's contrary? If you fall into idolatry with a religion and a person, how will you know it's contrary to the Word of God? Because the very nature of idolatry is that you listen to it rather than the Bible, rather than the Word of God. So, Father, we thank You that You are with us in this battle, that You empower us in this battle. We ask, Lord, that You grant us repentance day by day so that we can come into Your image, because the stumbling blocks and the stones will be gathered out of the highway for Christ to come to our hearts. And thank You, Lord, for that in the name of Jesus. Thank You for finishing the good work You have started in us, O Lord God. Amen. All right, saints, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today.